Well, it's time for another episode of Create or Die. And in this episode, we're about to get real. I'm about to get real about something that is important to me in my current place. You know, starting a new business, trying to figure out how to, you know, grow that brand awareness. And how to do that in a way that, you know, doesn't break the bank. Am I right? Because, yeah, you can throw money at LinkedIn and Facebook ads all day long, but do any of us really have the budget for that when we're, you know, just one dude and a dream? Those questions and more will be answered right after this. Wow. So, episode 76, we're in the fourth quarter when it comes to those critical 100 episodes of anything. I believe at 100 episodes, that's when we get syndicated, right? Another way it worked on TV shows back in the day, you hit that 100 episode, everybody's clapping because they know they about to get paid, right? Forever. You show them reruns of Seinfeld or, you know, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, I don't know where that came from, but, you know, those people continued to get little checks in the mail because they had reached that level where they can be syndicated. It's this magic number of 100 episodes, and we are at episode 76, and we're on our way. So, big things. But, like I mentioned on the outset of this, you know, wanted to talk about growing brand awareness and doing that in a way that doesn't break the bank because, yeah, money. We want to keep the money. And yes, you do need money to make money in a lot of cases, but stick with me here. My former boss, Don McDonald at MX, he had a good idea, something he came up with in conjunction with, you know, leadership there is like, hey, let's build kind of credibility at MX. Let's get that share of voice on these different subjects, become, you know, experts on certain subjects. And I'm trying to think, there was a fancy word, phrase, term for that. Thought leadership. Yeah. Get yourself some of that thought leadership whenever you can. And so essentially, that's where this came from. Growing brand awareness through storytelling is a presentation I'm currently in the middle of putting together. And I thought, hey, it's time to do a podcast. Maybe this can be a really rough go, maybe a working session to help me kind of remember, kind of take my outline from where I'm going and talk it out with all y'all, kind of try things out on you, if you will, and see how you respond so that when I need to speak and present this here, you know, 5-6 days from now, that I'll be maybe a little bit more comfortable. So again, title, Growing Brand Awareness Through Storytelling. So what, you know, let's start from zero. Not even step one, zero. What is brand awareness? Well, whether it's your business, your personal brand, your long-term existing company's brand, whether you call it a brand or just who we are, it's all the same. You know, whether you are intentionally helping to build your brand or it's something that you're not even thinking about, you have a brand and it's either good or it's bad. Or, you know, maybe it's somewhere in the middle. And that's where we're coming from. kind of the gray middle, you know, the messy middle. There's a lot of noise out there, a lot of businesses vying for that attention. You know, you see ad after ad on your social medias, if you still have ads on TV, radio, you know, in print, everywhere. It's pervasive and it's noisy out there, and it's super hard to cut through that noise, right? So how in this world of oversaturation of marketing, advertising, how do we do that? And what is that called? Well, that's called brand awareness, getting awareness for your business, your personal brand, your podcast, your taco stand, whatever it is. And I've identified 10 ways that you can do that. You know, just ideas for how one might grow their brand awareness and basically do it for free or only for the cost of your own time, right? Because we've all got unlimited amounts of time, right? It might feel that way sometimes, but if you're an entrepreneur and you're wearing all the hats, then that's something you don't have a lot of. But this is an area where you want to carve out some time for. So those 10 items, those 10 ideas for growing your brand awareness is content marketing, social media engagement, email marketing, networking, webinars and workshops, engaging in online communities, you know, forums, whatever, pages on Facebook, use video marketing, podcast appearances, hit me up. Maybe we make it happen, you know. Utilize LinkedIn and consistent branding. So those are these 10 ideas that you can usually just pay for these with your own time for the most part. So, and on the outset, I believe I mentioned this idea of infographics. And what is an infographic? Well, it is information that it has been distilled in, you know, down to its core, basically, to the most streamlined, concise story possible. And then to take it even to the next level, we bring in the graphics, we bring in the visuals, right? Because, you know, I think there's been plenty of studies out there, and you probably experienced it yourself, that there are some who, you know, like to read the words to learn. There are others who learn better visually. You know, show me a picture of that thing. That immediately puts my mind at ease as to what's being said. You know, I don't have to wrap my brain around some of these buzzwords that I may not understand or whatever. And then obviously a combination of both. So, you know, I'm dumbing it way down, and I apologize. I'm not trying to condescend or anything, just making sure, you know, we're covering the bases here. So an infographic is a distilled story with graphics that help reinforce that story. I would say, and you know, I'm biased as a creative, as a visual storyteller myself, you know, I would say the graphic side of things is the most important part of things, you know, because as consumers of content, you know, if we look at something and it looks like it was done in Word or put together haphazardly or by someone who doesn't have any design expertise whatsoever, then, you know, we immediately assume that whatever it's got to say, it must not be very accurate or professional because the visuals are lacking, right? You know, you go to a website and It looks like it was built in 2005. You know, you're automatically gonna say, hey, this company's behind the times. They, you know, they must be on their way out. They can't even afford to have a decent website, right? Same thing with anything you put out there. And that, you know, goes along with this consistent branding, number 10 on this list. And they're not in any, you know, order of importance. But that infographic falls into that content marketing, obviously. It's a piece of content, right? But we go down the list, social media engagement, that's a good way to, once you've created this infographic, to get eyes on it, right? Put it out there on LinkedIn. Again, that's another item, number 9 on this list, utilize LinkedIn. So we're just checking these off. And ultimately, with infographics, I believe you can cover all of these, okay? But we're gonna focus on 5. Content marketing, social media engagement, email marketing, utilizing LinkedIn, and consistent branding. And that by leveraging infographics, telling your story, and it may be an infographic about your company in general or your industry. It might be, you know, hey, something new has happened in the industry. You know, I remember, it's been several years ago now, you know, working at MX, we were a fintech company, you know, worked with banks and credit unions, other fintechs, and Apple, you know, big tech conglomerate company, they decided to dip their toes into our world, into the world of banking with the offering of the Apple Card, right? And so we jumped on that and we produced an infographic really quickly, you know, within a couple of days, basically saying, hey, what does this mean for banks? What does this mean for credit unions, who are our key customers? Basically saying, watch out, this juggernaut of experience and brand building beauty in the form of Apple was coming at you. So what are you gonna do, right? And so that infographic was well received, it was seen by many, it was current, it positioned us, you know, as a leading voice on that subject, and led to some additional brand building, brand awareness ideas. Like we did a webinar on the subject, you know, we produced some video marketing. So again, hitting all these different things. We may have even been on a podcast and talked about it. And so that's a great way to leverage infographics and to kind of slyly, without, you know, throwing your logo out there in front of everything and basically making this feel like an ad, saying, here's a valuable piece of content that will help you, Mr. or Mrs. potential customer prospect, to, you know, defend against this new player in your industry, in this case, Apple. So huge, huge stuff. So the shining example of why infographics worked for us at MX was this example of Central Pacific Bank. Now, they're a bank in Hawaii that our sales team had been working on for several months, and, you know, they would fly out there, have some good meetings, but things weren't progressing. And then, lo and behold, you know, we'd been sending out weekly infographics on our channels, you know, LinkedIn, through our blog, through email signups, you know, the people who had opted in to our emails for the infographic would receive those. And one of these individuals who had done that, who was an executive at Central Pacific Bank, CPB, he reached out to the account executive, the salesperson on the project, and basically said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he basically says, I can't tell you how these infographics affect me. You know, as you may know, the median income in Hawaii is like 88,000. The home price is like 800,000 for the median home price. You know, even for a condo, you're talking 400K. This was back in like late 2018, early 2019. So prices are way higher now, right? And just felt like, you know, they were the bank of the working class there in Hawaii. And they saw a lot of people who were hurting financially and needed that, you know, financial literacy and ways to empower them to achieve that financial independence. And so he said in this email and in conversations basically that, you know, the fact that MX has been sharing, you know, their thoughts on this subject that was so near and dear to him, it helped push him over to, you know, become a champion for the working relationship and for us to get that deal signed. So, I mean, you want to attach dollars to this. I mean, this was a multi-million a year contract for, I believe, you know, 3 years or so. And so the efforts of, you know, myself, our lead copy person there, and my boss, the CMO, Don McDonald, between the three of us and our time on a weekly basis to produce these, it was really impacting the bottom line, which, you know, that's what it's all about when you have a business, right? So this is real. This isn't just fluff. And we've seen it happen. And that this is just one example. Now, granted, it's a good one, but there were several others. And, you know, we'd see individuals, you know, use our infographics in their presentations. You know, it just did a lot to help kind of get the conversation started and position us as a thought leader in the industry. Now, hopefully we'll be able to edit this in here, but I've got some examples of what some of these infographics looked like that we created during this period. And we were doing it on the weekly for at least a year. And then, you know, priorities changed, leadership changes. And so eventually we stopped doing it. And, you know, I would argue that that was a mistake. But so I'll share with you on this video in the magic of post-production some of these infographic concepts, and you know, we'll just fly through some of them now. You know, we've got one on the poor in America, financial stress, kind of what that can lead to, you know, with regards to domestic violence, depression, you know, abuse, substance abuse, and even suicide. So that's a scary thing. You know, some of these other ones were biometrics in the financial industry. You know, at this time it was still fairly new to have face recognition on your phone, and that apps were starting to be able to tap into that as well. And you know, kind of exploring what the future of that might look like. So that helped position MX as like forward thinker, you know, innovator. And we hadn't even built anything. We were just talking about what could be built. And yeah, competitors, yeah, they could have taken our ideas or whatever, right? Others on student debt, you know, this point, $1.5 trillion in student debt was kind of around the neck of the those who had gone into debt for their schooling. So that's just a taste, you know. We'll have a few more fly through of what these infographics look like. And some of them were concise and they could fit on like a 1920 by 1080 slide, but most of them were longer, you know, 4,000 pixels long. And you could essentially, you know, take elements, graphics from those to help build out a presentation on the subject, perhaps, you know. So that gives you an idea of what an infographic looks like. Now, how do you go about creating one of these? Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. Well, first of all, you got to know your audience, you know, all the basics of, you know, marketing 101. So make sure you understand that and come up with a topic, you know. And the thing that has changed between now and like 2018, 2019, when we were working on these, is AI. So, you know, get yourself on the ChatGPT and ask it, like, what are, you know, the three biggest challenges for my audience? And this is my audience, this is the field that I'm in. It'll come up with some ideas. And you can decide, like, are those good ideas? Do I need to investigate further? It's always a good thing, because AI has been known to kind of make things up, get things wrong, but it's a great starting point. You know, when we were working on this, we would have to spend like a good day reading 5 or 6 different articles, and you know, in most cases that wasn't my job, it was the content writer, Olga, who would do that. And you know, thankfully she's smart and quick reader and everything, but you know, you ask AI, like, hey, look for articles from Forbes and, you know, Time Magazine or whatever, Wall Street Journal, on this subject, and summarize these articles. And if you're using like ChatGPT-4, you're paying for it, you can drop in a link to an article and say, you know, I think this article has some information I need, you know, but can you just summarize it for me? Great, great use of AI, in my opinion. So once you know what topic you're looking at, and it's gonna resonate with your audience and help position you in a way. And remember, this isn't, we're not trying to make an ad, you know. This is, I mean, the best tools are those that are gonna be of real value to your audience, to your prospective customers. You know, it's something that they would even pay for, and you're giving it away for free. And because, you know, and there's books and lots of research on this, but the more things you give prospective customers and they ascribe real value to that, the more they're going to value you. And psychological wizardry in there happens, and I can speak for myself with brands I love, but you start to think, how can I give back to this brand? You know, or I have this need, I happen to be in a place where I can, you know, put some money into this. Well, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to that company that gave me all this great information, because they're obviously an expert on the subject, right? So you've got your topic, it's valuable, you're going to write the article, right? And I'm going to make a note here. Be sure it's valuable. See, I told you that talking this through with all y'all would help me create this presentation. So appreciate it. But yeah, you write the article. And again, if you're not the strongest writer in the world, this is an area where ChatGPT can help. You know, however you want to do it. I've done it both ways. I've asked ChatGPT, like, hey, you know, give me a first draft or a bulleted list of, you know, this subject, what a good article would be. It does that. And then I may take it and do my first messy pass at it. And then I upload that entire article document, you know, and this is the long form article that's separate from the infographic itself. This is the content, the meat. And you may not need that, but we found it valuable. You know, again, for those who like the visual, they got the infographic and a little bit of copy and story. But for those that wanted to deep dive, go to the article, and they work together. So, you know, I'd go in and nowadays might have ChatGPT write that outline for me. And then I go in and fill it in real messy, you know, flesh out each of those sections, and then give it back to ChatGPT and say, hey, I know this is horrible. Please do whatever you can to improve it. However you get that article written, get it written, make sure it's yours. And if you're citing, you know, stuff that you've learned from these articles as you've researched your topic, you know, these references, you got to cite those references, right? In your article and in the infographic. Basically, you know, here's this study that was done, and here are some, you know, metrics, some numbers that came out of that. This was Forbes article entitled January 2022 edition, whatever. So once the article's written, then comes the visual side of things, okay? So first of all, what I do is I look at it and think, okay, can I just take the titles of each of these sections in the article and maybe a supporting metric or stat of each of these, and what does that look like? And you're not worried about how it looks. It's just a straw man version, a wireframe version, and use whatever you want. You know, if it's Illustrator, Photoshop, Canva, Figma, whatever, and just throw text on there. And if you are like me and you have some design experience and you can kind of take it a step further, and maybe you put little basic shapes to kind of say, okay, here's some text and then here's a circle because I know I'm gonna put some type of visual here, or here's a rectangle that's full width and there's gonna be a bigger visual there, you know. And basically, you know, this could become a full-on episode tutorial on design, but the key, most important thing to remember about design is that it's really all about communication. You know, what you're putting on the screen in terms of visuals, does that help improve it, you know, this piece of content's ability to communicate, or does it detract from that? And so design isn't just, here's a pretty graphic, throw it on there. Design is the typography, the way you lay out the text, you know, the way you decide to change the font weights or colors, you know. This is really important. I'm going to make it bolder or bigger. This is less important and kind of supporting. I'm going to make that smaller. Whatever it is, so that when someone looks at your infographic and they're reading it, and we're creating infographics for Western civilization, right, where we read from top to bottom, left to right. So that's how you should consume as a user or reader, consumer of that infographic. It's just like reading a book, right? So there's a hierarchy to things, you know? And so as a designer, I'm always thinking about, even at this wireframe stage, like, okay, this is going at the top of the page. This is the title. It's going to take up about this much weight. I've already made it a bigger font, much bigger, because that's where I want the eye to go to first. That's the most important part, right? And then moving our way down, you know, there's like a section title, and there might be a subtitle, and then the body copy, which is the smallest font. And if you look at publication design, whether it's magazines or newspapers, back when those existed, a lot of times that first article would have bigger body copy as well. So everything about it, the image, everything was bigger, because that's where you were going to get the gist of the story, and you were going to be hooked to continue, or maybe, hey, that was enough. And obviously the goal is to communicate again as quickly as possible, but also, you know, to get them to consume the whole thing. You know, how can we continue to have multiple hooks throughout a piece of content? And that can be with the way things are written, you know. You can kind of tease the next section. And again, go to, you know, ChatGPT and say, hey, I've got this paragraph. Can you create a hook to basically help me transition from the previous to this one, whatever. So, you know, kind of beating a dead horse at this point, but it's a critical stage. And then, you know, once I've got it on there, you know, it's a good time to kind of share it with other stakeholders or collaborators. Maybe you're the final decision maker. You know, do you have a friend or colleague or spouse or partner or whoever who can look at that for you and basically just say, hey, let me know, you know, just look at this. What does it communicate to you? You know, does it feel like anything's missing? Do you get the, you know, what's the overall impression that you get at the end of kind of reading through this? And, you know, make changes as needed. And then, you know, it's time to start polishing things, you know, introducing color and graphics. And that, again, is a whole another subject. And again, I hate to admit it as a creative, but you can, again, solicit AI for help in creating these visuals. Now, becoming a prompt engineer and understanding how to work with AI is a whole nother ball game, but it can be quicker or more affordable than hiring a designer. That being said, with as much mileage as you can get out of an infographic, it may be worth hiring a designer, getting some kind of help. And you know, you can go to professionals, and you can also try your hand at the Fiverr roulette or whatever, or Upwork, and say, hey, I can spend $200 on this. Who's up for it? And you may go through a few of them before you find somebody who really understands the brief and can produce something useful. But then a lot of times you can continue to work with that person and get good results. So something to think about. So once you've gone through the design phase, you've made it pretty, you've got your finished illustration, visual, now you can decide, like, okay, how are we gonna leverage this? You know, are there elements that we can pull out and use in like a social ad or social card, you know, because ad assumes that it's being paid, but I'm just talking about normal social post where it's like you just highlight one element of it. But you get the idea, you know, just some little piece that teases up or hooks the viewer into wanting to click on that social post to go, this link to your blog or whatever, where you have the entire article hosted and the entire infographic. And you could maybe, you know, highlight 10 different sections or metrics from that one infographic. And that helps you with content, which is going to help you with the algorithm, which you can see how these all feed together. And then, you know, there, I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but might as well throw it out there. But video marketing, you could take your infographic and break it into a video that could loop on your social media or YouTube or something. Maybe there's some simple music behind it. And yet another way to get mileage out of this tool and help to tell that story. And it goes on and on. You know, there's email, like I mentioned. Now, you don't want to go out and just spam a bunch of people and send them your infographic, but you can find ways. You know, you make these posts on social, and maybe there's a link in there or mention of your newsletter. And ideally, you're just asking them to do one thing with each post, right? Like, I want you to click on this and go to the blog. But on the blog, the call to action is sign up for this weekly email of infographics. You know, we're going to create one of these once a week. You want to be the first one to see it? Put your email here, right? So in the end, that's it. You know, we've taken this one vehicle, essentially this hero piece of content, the infographic. We've talked about the importance of knowing our audience, understanding, you know, what story do we need to tell, either about our brand or about something current that's happening in our industry. Or maybe it's not so current. It's just one of those things that you know that your ideal customer continues to struggle with. And rather than saying, you know, explicitly like, choose us. Look, we've got this great feature and that great feature, which is what everyone else is doing. You're instead saying, hey, I know you're busy. Here's a tool that you can use free of charge. That's valuable. So you got that story, figured out what you're going to tell, and you create that infographic, whether you're doing it yourself, you're leveraging AI, or you're hiring someone to do that. And again, I think this is an area where, you know, you're going to get a lot of mileage out of this piece of content. It might be worth it, unless you fancy yourself a designer. And then it's all about distribution. You know, how do you get eyes on this thing? And initially, it's going to be small. You know, unless you already got this huge following on LinkedIn or whatever. And if that's the case, then you're doing something right already, and you may not even need this. But I believe that no matter where you're at, where your business is at, where your brand is at in terms of maturity and awareness, this is going to be valuable. So you get it out there, and then what do? You repeat the process. You do it again. And we talked about different ways in that distribution stage of how you might, you know, leverage that content from your hero infographic for different channels, you know, video, social, you know, postcards, webinar subjects, you know, let's reach out to industries experts on the subject and be like, hey, come join me for this webinar where we're going to dissect this subject that is so important, just like in that Apple Card example I mentioned earlier. So I hope you were able to find something amidst the craziness that is my way of communicating, and you're excited, you know, to get out there and create a story via infographics, which will in turn help to grow your brand. And as you continue to do that, you know, your first one might be blah, your second, third, and fourth are gonna get better and better. And then you're going to start to hit your stride. You're gonna find your voice. You're going to fine tune that consistent look and feel, which is all about consistent branding, you know, and that's visually, that's where my mind goes to first. You know, it's like, we've got a certain logo, we've got our color palette. Every time you see our stuff, it looks the same. But just as important, or maybe even more important, is your brand promise. You're keeping that promise. You've said, hey, you're gonna receive this valuable piece of content every week. And as people start to see that happen, and you've built that credibility, and they do find it valuable, then that is gonna do wonders for your brand. And that's part of being consistent with your branding. Do what you say you're gonna do. Say what you're gonna do, do what you're gonna do. Do what you say, do, whatever. This point, I'm just getting crazy, right? So there you go. Thanks to all y'all for helping me out as I have been kind of trying to find time to put together this this content for this presentation on Saturday, April 27th. It's happening. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Well, that's what we call an episode. So until next time, keep on creating. Create or die.